late last night. Dawson was seeking the Lord, and when we were singing songs, you could hear Austin right up there with everybody singing. I mean, you could hear him. You could hear his voice, and he never looked a bit sleepy. And I told Sister Laura, I said, "You don't only have a singer on your hands; you got a night owl too." And so we love the children and appreciate them so much. Want to ask for your prayers today. I have no desire other than to share with you the things that the Lord placed upon my heart, and ask for your prayers. And I want to read for a reading lesson today. I want to read seven verses, but all of them are in different places. And so if you want to follow along with me, that would be fine. Just be prepared to turn some pages. I want to use a title today, and it's somewhat of a lengthy title, but my title today will be Why God Sent His Son and Why His Son Came. And both of those things are very well answered for us in the Scriptures. There are many verses that tell us exactly why God sent His Son into the world, and tell us even from the Lord Jesus' own words and own perspective why it was that He came into the world. And if we look beginning with Luke chapter 19, and this is right at the end of the account that we are given concerning Zacchaeus, when he climbed up there in the tree to see Jesus, and how that the Lord had called out to him and told him to come down. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, this is what Jesus said. This is a statement that He made. He said, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now the Apostle Paul made this statement in his writing to the young preacher Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, Paul said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." In the third chapter of the Gospel according to John, in verse 16, and probably you don't even have to turn to this, I would say that most everybody can quote this, but in John chapter 3, verse 16, again, this was Jesus, and He said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." Well, for what purpose? "That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." It was love that prompted God to give His Son. The Apostle Paul, again, in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, the Apostle Paul wrote, and he said, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." The Apostle John, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, the Apostle John wrote and said, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him." Again, the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, he said, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." And the last one I want to read is found in Galatians chapter 4. And actually, I'm going to read two verses from Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. The Apostle Paul said, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." Now that is, I suppose, actually 8 verses, but that's 7 places that I have shared with you today that we find in the Scriptures that speak to us and tell us why that God sent his Son into the world, and tell us why that Jesus was willing to come, that he was willing to be sent. God did not have to do what he did. God was not under obligation to us to send his Son into the world. Jesus did not have to come. He was not under obligation to us to come to the world and to suffer the things that he suffered and to die there on the cross. But the Bible teaches us these passages we have read that it was God's love for lost humanity that caused him to send his only begotten Son. And it was the love of the Lord Jesus Christ for lost humanity that prompted him to be obedient to that and to come into this world. And I want to go back for just a few moments to something that I had spoke about earlier in the week, and that is that God did these things and Jesus did these things because it is God's desire for everybody that they would be saved. It's God's will towards everybody that you come to know the Lord in a pardon and forgiveness of sin. God did this because he wants everybody to be saved. And again, from the verse that I spoke about the other night, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, we are told that God will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And also again in 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9, we are told that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now I want to say to you that I want to share with you today that are here that are not saved, that not only does God want you to come to him and seek him for salvation, but he also has done everything necessary to be done in order for you to be able to come to him and to seek him and be saved, and that when you do that, that God has made a way for people to know that they have been saved. And listen, you need to know where you stand with the Lord. You need to know God does not confuse the minds of people. God does not confuse anybody's hearts. If you're confused about where you stand with God, you can be sure that that's the work of the devil. The devil would have you to be confused, but God would have you to know exactly where you stand with him. God, through the working of his Holy Spirit, and I've shared this with you many times, and others have as well, but God, through his Holy Spirit, He made me to know that I was lost and separated from him. And when I was able by his help to seek him and be saved, God made me know that he had saved me. And, you know, I've said this before, that there are people that teach that, you know, you just have to do your best to follow the things that are written in the scriptures, and that you can't really know whether or not you've been saved. I'm going to tell you that that contradicts the Word of God. The scriptures teach us that we can know, in fact, you must know. And so the Apostle Paul, in his writing to the Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, he said, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." We're also told in the writings of the Apostle John that we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren, because God has put a love in our hearts that was not there before. And so when we are saved, God sheds his love abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And we find that recorded in the fifth chapter of Romans. When God saves us, he puts his love in our hearts. And I remember one time talking about the song that says that God put a little sunshine in. Well, God did shine in our hearts, but listen, when he saved us, he didn't give us a little bit of anything. He shed his love abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And so God does give evident token that we have been saved. And, you know, God would never want to have children in this world. He would never want to have people walking around in this world not knowing that they're saved, not knowing that they belong to him. God would have all of his children to know that they have been saved, that we might be effective witnesses for him, that we might be able to tell other people what God has done for us, and that he can do the same thing for them. And so we see that God has made all of the necessary provisions in order for us to be saved. And let's think about that for a moment here. And let's think about why it is that the human family has need of salvation. Why is it that we need to be saved? Well, the Bible teaches us that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're told that in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. We're told in Romans chapter 5, in verse 12, the Apostle Paul said, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And we can go back and we can think about what we find recorded there in the third chapter of Genesis, after that God had created man and given him a law to keep, how that he could, of all the trees of the garden there, he could freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God said, "You're not to eat of that." They were not even to touch it. And God said, "In the day that you eat, you will surely die." And so that's what the Apostle Paul was referencing when he made the statement there in Romans 5:12, when he said, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world." He was talking about Adam's transgression. He was talking about how that Adam disobeyed God, and it made not only him a sinner, but sin passed upon all of his posterity. Sin passed upon all those who were of the seed of Adam. And so the reason that we all have need of salvation is because we're all sinners. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the scriptures taught us in multiple places in some of these verses that I have shared with you today, that when Jesus came into the world, he came and gave his life to save sinners. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. He made the statement in the 9th chapter of the gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said, I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And so he came here to give his life, as he said, a ransom for our sin. Listen, had it not been for what the Lord Jesus Christ did, there wouldn't be any salvation. It wouldn't even be possible to be saved, because in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, we're told there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus himself said this in John chapter 14, verse 6. He said, I am the way, and friends, that's singular. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Listen, if you're here today and you're lost in your sins, Jesus is your only hope. He is your only way of salvation. And the conditions that have been set before you to be saved are this: repentance toward God. Why? Because you're a sinner and you must turn away from sin and you must turn to God in order to be saved. And so the conditions of salvation are repentance toward a holy God and faith, and that is totally trusting the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of your soul. Now, that's what God would have you to do. But listen, it's been said many times throughout these revival services this week that God's not going to force that upon you. God's not going to make you do that. God offers us his grace and his mercy. The grace of God that bringeth salvation, the Bible said, hath appeared to all men. God offers salvation to everybody. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. God is no respecter of persons. He offers his salvation to people of every race, to people of every culture, to people of every status. God is no respecter of persons. He would have everybody to come to him and to be saved. You know, John wrote in 1 John chapter 3, in the first verse, he said, Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Well, what manner of love did God bestow upon us? Well, certainly, it was an unconditional love, wasn't it? Because there wasn't anything that he saw in us that made us worthy of his love. Brother Chuck asked the question in Sunday school about our love toward Christ. You know, do we love him because of what he can do for us? And you know what? We do. The Bible says that we love, if you love the Lord, you love him because of what he has done. We love him, John said, we love him because he first loved us. And so we love him based upon what he has done. But God just loved us. One of the things that we're told in the scriptures about the manner of love that the Father hath bestowed upon us is that it is a love that passes understanding. There was no, as I said, there was nothing about us that was worthy of God loving us. He looked at a sinful world, sinful people, and just loved us so much that he sent his only son. You know, that has gotten to people through the years. The gospel message that God sent his only begotten son in the world, that God so loved the world and that he so unselfishly sent his only begotten son in the world to die for sinners who were not worthy of him at all. That message has touched the hearts of people throughout the years of time, and it ought to touch the hearts of people today. It ought to do something to you today. If you've never been saved by God's grace, the thought that the righteous Son of God that was not guilty of sin at all, that was under no obligation to do this, that he came here to this world to suffer and to die for you. For you. You know, you'll find something in common with these verses that I shared here today, and that is the Lord came here and did this for our benefit, not for his. He came here and did it for us. Why did God send his only begotten son? So that whoever would believe in him would not have to perish. So whosoever would believe in him would not have to experience what we actually deserve. You know, listen, an eternity separated from God, an eternity of torment, away from the love and the mercy of God, is truly what all of us were worthy of. But God loved us so much that he sent his son that we could escape that. That we could have eternal life. Paul said Jesus was rich. Well, how was he rich? Well, he was in heaven with his heavenly Father. He was in the glory world in the presence of the Father. And he laid all of that down and came into this world and took upon him the form of a servant. And being made in the likeness of man, he humbled himself and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He left that behind and came into this sinful world and became poor. You know, when Jesus was here, he even lived a poor life in the natural sense. He wasn't born in a king's palace, was he? He wasn't born in a royal family. He was born in very impoverished surroundings, laid there in a manger, grew up among very common people. And we even find a time when Jesus said, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. When the devil offered him all the riches of the world, he refused them. He became left behind his riches and became poor, that we through his poverty could be made rich. Listen, if you're ever going to be saved, you're going to have to seek the Lord. Because the promise of salvation is made to the seeker. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Knock and it shall be opened. Seek and ye shall find. Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 29 says, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord, thou shalt find him. If you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. If you want to be saved, you're going to have to seek the Lord. He came to seek and to save that which was lost, but you're going to have to seek him in order to find him. You're going to have to meet his condition of repentance. You're going to have to trust him. You're going to have to call upon the name of the Lord with all your heart, because the Bible says in the 10th chapter of Romans that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you're not going to be saved unless you do that. Unless you call upon the name of the Lord. I remember I was listening to Brother Moran preach a revival sermon a couple of years back. He was preaching at a revival in one of our churches, and I went to hear him, and he told me that one time this man told him, said he wasn't looking for the Lord at all. He wasn't seeking the Lord at all. He wasn't desiring salvation at all, and one day the Lord just saved him. Brother Moran said, no, I didn't believe that. I don't either. If you want to be saved, you're going to have to seek the Lord. You're going to have to desire salvation. And when you seek him, you've got to seek him with all your heart. And when the Lord saves you, and this is what many people want to know, when he saves me, you say that I'll know. How will I know? Well, you'll know because the Lord will tell you. And that's explained to us in the scriptures how that God does that. In the 8th chapter of Romans, verse 16, Paul said the Spirit itself, actually I think the translation should be himself. The Holy Spirit is a person, third person of the Godhead. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. What's that telling us? That's telling us that when we seek the Lord for the salvation of our soul, the way that we will know that we have met God's conditions, the way that we will know that God has saved us, is when his Holy Spirit speaks to our spirit and tells us that we have been saved. Now, that's the only way that I can explain that to you. And I can say this to you, that when God saved me, that's exactly what happened to me. I was praying. I was seeking the Lord. I was calling upon his name. I was begging him for the salvation of my soul. And the only thing that I can testify to you of today is that suddenly I knew that I was saved. God spoke to my heart and let me know that I was saved. And I'm telling you something, folks. This thing is real. It's not imaginary. It's real. And listen, if it happens to you, you're going to know that it's real. You're going to know that God has blessed your soul. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he was here in the world, he set up his church. And he left her here to go into all the world and to preach to every creature about him and to tell people what they must do in order to be saved. If you fail, and I pray that this will not be the case with anybody here, but if you fail to be saved while in this life, you have the time and the opportunity, it won't be anybody's fault but yours. You won't be able to blame it on God. You won't be able to blame it on God's people, because God has made every provision for you to be saved. And his people have made it known to you what you must do in order to be saved. And as they say, friends, the ball is in your court. It's on you. You are responsible to God for your soul. And as we find there in the 30th chapter of Deuteronomy, I have set before you this day life and death, blessing and cursing, and the choice is yours. But choose life. Choose life. Seek the Lord and seek Him until you know that you've been saved. I'm glad that I know that I know that I know that I found the Lord. So let's have a song. Let's stand and sing. And if you're here today and you're lost, you need to come to the Lord.
153.
Come up here and pray. Seek the Lord. Seek Him today for the salvation of your soul. God help you. God help you today.
As I journey through this veil of sorrow, the way seems so strange and unknown. Lord, I need a helping hand to borrow, for I cannot find the way. Find the way alone. I have no other friend to guide me, and I am so weak and undone. Walk a little closer, Lord, beside. Not find the way alone. I cannot find the way without Thee, dear Lord. Look down from Thy throne and make the light to shine above. Find the way alone. When the raging storms of life confound me, dear Lord, wilt Thou keep me Thine own? Let me feel Thy precious arms around. For I cannot find the way alone. I cannot find the way without Thee, dear Lord. Look down from Thy throne and make the light to shine about me, for I cannot find the way alone.
Earlier in the week, Brother